This is the Baptist Bible Institute and Baptist Bible Seminary, sponsored by the Bible for Today, second year Greek class, and it is the sixth class of the second spring semester, 1983. This is on the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 2 to 31, and Dana and Maddie, pages 220 to 229, paragraphs 196 to 201. And the teacher, the date, as we may have forgotten, is March the 10th, 1983, the teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for this evening that we can study Thy Word in the Greek language, and we thank Thee for these students that are gathered here in our home. We pray for Mr. Arson, as he's been ill these last several weeks, that he may join us soon, and wouldst Thou guide us now by the Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts to receive the teachings of our Savior and our Redeemer, and help these students, help for Ruth and her work for the Bible for Today ministry. We thank you for all of her help in learning the computer and all the other details of the office. We pray for Bill as he's studying in the seminary over there and preparing his heart for the ministry that Thou would lead him into. Help with his wife as well to serve our Savior acceptably in our local church. Thou take care of each of our families and bless our ministry now in several capacities, and help us by that Holy Spirit as we learn tonight this subject in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's go and begin with John 13:2. Bill, why don't you lead off with that? Let me give the Greek first. We'll read it, and then you read it, please.
John 13:2. Kai deitou genomenou tou diabolou eide bebletota eisten kardian yura
Okay, I did that. Then,
John.
Yeah, that's it. Kai de tu genomeno.
Kai de tu genomeno. De tu
genomeno.
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 Alright.
Tu diapalu eide de Blekata.
Blekata,
Eisten kardian. Uda.
Yuda.
Yuda. Tin simona. Dat kariotu.
Is kariotu, right?
Kena atan parado.
Alright, that's good. Alright, that's good. We have a genitive absolute only, right, to start a grammar, right? So you see the genitive on there, deitnu, genomenu, tu, diabolu. So you got the participle in genitive, and all the other things going on. So this is a syntactically set apart sentence, a genitive absolute type sentence. So.
And, what's that?
The supper, the dinner.
Supper.
Ended or having been completed or having taken place, you see, having finished. Then he's still a devil, you see.
Okay. A devil.
Blekata from balo, to throw, and this is your perfect. That is the perfect participle.
Has thrown.
Perfect active. Mm-hmm. Having thrown.
Having thrown.
Having cast. Having put.
In the heart.
Ede. Already. In the heart.
Simon.
Of Simon.
Of Simon.
Of Judas.
Iscariot.
See, Judas of Simon Iscariot. See, Judas of Simon. You take it as the son of, or the relative of, you know, the descendant of. It's just in the genitive. Simonis is genitive, Iscariot is genitive. In the heart of Judas, of Simon Iscariot. We put in the son of Simon. The son normally is usually assumed. Right?
In order to get to?
Or to get it to didymi, right, do, but para didymi is to give over into the hands of somebody else, so therefore to betray.
Okay.
So it's the traitorship, the traitor. All right. And Ginomenu, as we explained, is present middle participle of Ginoma.
It's present.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that
we could say
something
over? Oh, boy. We got a different text than the other thing. It is, this is a... this is Eris right here. Yes. The other text, the rest of her text, apparently has Ginomenon, and that is part. This is Eris, correction, because there's a different form. Thank you for pointing that out. The Gen root would be Eris, so it's suffer having been over.
Why
is
it in the
right, that's your genitive absolute. The whole date new, Ginomenu, to Diabolu, Edi, Biblicata. All those are genitives. Now, the genitive absolute is a use that the Greek has whereby we set apart a whole idea from the rest of the sentence. Now, why it is, nobody knows. It's almost as if we would use a hiatus. You'd use dashes or something, a parenthetical type thing. See if I can find the genitive, but I'm just trying to see the genitive.
Okay.
Is the absolute of the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got it all right. So it's not grammatically connected with the rest of the sentence. Okay, the genitive absolute, like the Latin ablative absolute. It has a participle and a noun, you see, in the genitive case. Not grammatically connected with the rest. In other words, it's not the object of anything, it's not the subject of anything, see, particularly. It's just...
Well, if you
list
the template and it having been suffered, isn't that what it says literally? Having
mm-hmm.
been suffered?
That's right. Having been suffered means that it was all over, see. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It already is finished, see.
Mm-hmm.
Having been suffered, that's
and
right.
And why is the other in the template?
Well, I know. There again, you see, you have a second genitive absolute with diabolu and biblicata. Because here's another noun, another participle.
Mm-hmm.
So you got one genitive absolute followed by another mm-hmm. with a noun and a participle, see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's... That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See, just like the supper can be used as a subject because it's a genitive absolute. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when we have the... accusative uses the subject when you have an infinitive. It's the same thing. You know, like the subject. They don't like to call it the subject, but that's what respectively it is. So here it is. Instead of saying of the supper, of having been, you know, you say the supper having taken place already, the devil already having thrown into or cast into or put into the heart of Simon. Judas, rather, the son of understood Simon Iscariot. The son of Simon, in order that he might betray it. All right, any other questions on that one? Let's see, we got stuck on that genomenu instead of genomenu. All right, biblikatos is perfect active of balo, and parado is the subjunctive, isn't it? Of paradidomi. It's the aorist subjunctive. All right. Any other questions? That's a little difficult syntactically to start in with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But that should be the explanation. All right. It's not Ruth. Take the third verse.
On 13:3, Enos ha Jesus hati panta dedoken auto ha pater espa keras kai hati apostau excelte kai proston taon hupage.
Alright.
Idos ha Iesus hati panta dedoken auto ha pater eis papera kai hati apostau excelte kai proston.
John. Yeah, I think so. Let me see.
John.
That's right. You hear my John.
That's Jesus, true. Knowing that the Father had given all into his hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all things, probably to the point of being accused of in the neuter seat.
And that he came out from God and he is going toward God.
Mm-hmm. Right back to God, right, returning to God. All right, prosthopion is similar to John 1, is it? In Archaean logos, kind of logos, in prosthopion. The beginning of the word was with God. Prosthopion. He's near God, close to God. And so that is edokan, this one root. Is that edokan? Eidos, I guess. I guess. I think of edokan. We'll try the eidos. That's what eidos is for.
That's a participle.
Mm-hmm. Oida is, looks like a perfect. It says eidos looks like perfect, but let's take a look at it. I'm not sure on that. Eidos, yeah. I think it's from Oida. Yeah, I know it's from Oida, but aorist or perfect is my question. Eidos. Well, it would be perfect. It's perfect. Oida is perfect, isn't it? Right? It doesn't say what the tense is. That's a strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Strange thing.
But
this is from Oida,
huh? You wouldn't say having known, would you?
Well, Oida, of course, it had with a present tense.
No, it would be known.
Then I think knowing is all right. Yeah. It's a perfect form, but Oida is used as a present. So knowing is right. You translate right. All right. Let's see. That was the edokan. The edokan, rather, is what?
That's perfect.
Did it me? All right. To me is perfect, okay, the reduplication. See, I guess exhale said.
Yes,
it's the very familiar, and hupago. President hupago, right. Mm-hmm. All right, so that takes care of that. He's going back to the Father. All things given into his hands. It's interesting, the power of the Son of God. The Father given everything into his hands. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Remember, go ye therefore. The gospel of every creature. All power is given unto me. Alright, next bill, please.
John 13:4. Egeretai ectu deknu kai kutesi ka hematia kai labon lentia diezosen helton.
Is that the end of that?
John.
Yeah, okay. Alright.
Rose up out of supper and
or from supper, mm-hmm. You know what? Out of supper, from supper.
And
put forth in the place.
Put the that
or put aside, if you want to say it, I mean the place the almost to lay to one side, put to one side.
Is the same verb that the Lord used when he said, I lay down my life?
Maybe so, I don't know. That's John 10, isn't it? 10:17. But I might take it again. Yes. I take it again. 10:17, I believe. Yes, that's the same it is. That's right. Lay down, lay aside. My soul is 2K, the life. So this is he laid aside, or put aside, put off, I think that's right. Tithemi means to put it a place, and it depends on the context, whether it's to put it a place, to pen down on the table, or to put your clothes on the floor after you've taken them off, you see, or your robe or whatever. So this is probably the context to be having laid aside, of course.
His life like a garment
and
take it up again.
Yeah, that's right. Seriously. It's like we just robe, take off our sweater or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where were we there, Bill?
The garment.
The garments is all right, but the neuter plural.
Mm-hmm. And taking
But having taken, the la bonne would be rare, okay. 17.
Having taken.
Frontier, that's a tau.
A tau.
Diezzo, then. That's from Diezzo. And zone is the other. Something that goes around the earth. Diazonumi. Zonumi is the verb. The aorist of that. To go around you, to gird yourself around.
Okay. Himself.
He
girded himself.
He girded himself, that's right. All right. The torrid zone, the frigid zone is the, that's from this verb, the zonumi. Huh? Pardon me? Yes, sure. Wrapped himself around. Mm-hmm. Wrapped himself. All right. Girded himself. Wrapped himself. Surely. Put around himself. Either one. Have you think of how he wrapped it around himself? Well, it would be all right. All right. Agirithai is the present middle of agiro. Tithisin is present of tithimi. Labon, the aorist of lambano. And diezosin is the first aorist of diazonimi. To wrap yourself around, to gird yourself. All right. Any other questions on that one? All right. Truth.
On 13.5. Eta bale tudor. Eton neptera. Kai erxato. Nyptain tus poros ton mateton, kai ekmathain to lentio, ho ein diezos menos. John?
Then, casting water into the basin,
mm-hmm.
And then he cast water into the basin.
Yeah, casting or putting, I guess we'd say. Throwing.
He begins to wash the feet of the disciples.
Or he began, the air, see, that's your augmented thing.
The feet of the disciples, and to wipe them off with the towel, something, towel, is that towel?
Towel, mm-hmm. Lentio.
With which he was girded.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Okay.
So how
could
you say girded if that's
a participle?
Would you say something?
Would
you
say being
girded?
Wherewith he was girded, yes. Or was being girded, he had girded himself. See, something
the
like that.
Participle
is
translated with ing?
No, it's the past participle, girded, ed, you see. This is perfect past participle. Diazosomenos, let me see. Diaz, where is it here? Five.
Yes.
Diazosomenos is perfect passive participle. Diazonimi. Yeah, having been girded. See, perfect passive. See, having been girded. Let's see. It would be five. He began with the tau by which he had been girded. Now that ain plus the diazosomenos is the what we call a periphrastic participle. That's one of our uses, I believe we'll pick up tonight, I would say. It's the present or imperfect of the verb to be plus the participle. It just makes it a little more vivid, see. He was girded, wherewith he was girded, but literally, wherewith he had been girded. He had been strong. So,
and you don't always have to use an ing.
No. No, that's right. See, just like when we take up this, this word that Bill had in his sentence, let's see what word was that, a participle. Labon, verse 4, you see. We say having taken. Instead of taking, it's from aorist, from labano, that would be having taken. See, in other words, it's completed action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we, but either, usually the en form or the ing form. See, if it's a present participle, now we would say taking, usually. But if it's a past participle, we would say usually having taken, see. Or when he took, something like that. As we'll see tonight, we can translate a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. That was five, wasn't it? Bale is present of Balo. All right, Erxitha is what? Has it your list? Yeah.
Is the
aorist
of
Arco, right. Aristobarco and Niptane. President of Nipso and Ekmathane. President of Ekmaso, all right. And Ain is the imperfect of Amy. And Diazos Menos, we said was what?
Progressive.
Right? Diazonumi. Diazonumi and two nus in there. Zonu. New, new, Ypsilon, me, M-I, mu, yoda. So that's what that would be. It's interesting that this word Niptane, and it's a Niptera. Is that your verse? Is that a Niptera or is that Phil there? It's yours, yeah, Niptera. That's yours, isn't it, Ruth? You're supposed to put water in the Niptera. No, Niptera, that's the word just to take a sponge bath. See, but Luo is to bathe completely and entirely. See. So this Niptera would be the little sponge.
We used to call wash
basin. Wash basin, that's right. See, a Niptane. The feet. See, just to sponge them off and all. But then we see later on that word luo comes, which means to take an entire bath. All right, any questions on that? All right, Ruth, is it Phil? Okay. John 13:6.
Erketai un pros simona petron, kai lege auto etinos, curia si mu niptes tus poras, John.
All right.
Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, trying to figure what Akinos is in there.
Akinos? Oh, he says to him, that one says to him. See, that's the subject of the verb legging. That one, or he, see.
Okay.
Meaning Judas, going back to, or me, excuse me, Judas, it's Simon Peter.
Okay. Lord, you wash my feet.
Is this the question? You are going to wash my feet? In other words, the feet of me, my feet. All right. You didn't want that to happen to me. Erthetai, present of Erthomai, Legae, present of Lego, Niptes, present of Nipto. So all those present tenses. All right. Any other comment or question on that one? All right. Next verse, please, Ruth.
13:7. Apekrite, Jesus, Kaepen, Auto, Ha, Ego, Poyo, Si, Uk, Oidas,
Arti,
Gnose, Death, Meta, Tauta. Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not know now, but you shall know after these things.
Mm-hmm. After these things, or after this, new the plural. The seventh verse of the fifth day we know is Eris, passive of Cinema, Apen, Eris, the Poyo present, oidas, is what? Oidas.
Is that the same verb?
It's
perfect, it's the
perfect? That's right. Eidos. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So be a present, yes, right. Perfect form, used like a present of oidas. Mm-hmm. Gnose is what?
I suppose it's the
transitive
verb, future,
yeah. It is a future. A future middle, indicative of Gnosko. Mm-hmm. If you see that Eta Iota subscript, looks like it might be a subjunctive, but also in the middle form, that Sigma Eta Iota subscript is also the second person singular. If we take a look at our paradigms there, see if we can find that middle future in our analytical Greek lexicon. Page what? I had it turned on here somewhere. There it is. Page XIV, page 15. See if we can find the, that's the active voice. We want the middle voice, so that would be over for passive. 19. Yes, no, page 19, okay. Over 19, and you got the future. Oh, that's not the future, was it? That was
no,
the.
Sir,
yeah, future, yeah, it is future, yeah, future middle. You notice the lusomai, luce, for the sake of the mm-hmm. second, first thing, the lusitai. So you see, the lusitai, the ida yodasatrika, is the second person singular of that middle, so it looks like it's time, but it is in the future. The sigma and all to go in. But you will know hereafter. You don't know what I'm doing, but you will. Any other comments or questions? That was 7, was it?
Yeah.
All right, Phil, let's not take John 13:8, please.
John 13:8. Lege auto petros, ume lipses, tus podos, mu, eston iona, apocryphe auto hoisus, ean me nipso se, uk eche meros met emu.
Peter has said to him.
It says or said, it's a historical part, that's what I said. That's what I said.
You shall never wash my feet in.
Up to the age, in other words, all, okay. Forever, he shall never see up to the eternity. See.
Okay. Jesus answered him, "If I wash not you, you have not."
Mass is a part.
You're not a part with me.
Alright. This is Nipsace is the second first heiress of Nipto, and so it's we translate like a future, you do not wash my feet or you cannot wash my feet. You must not wash my feet. Ume is the strongest negative there is in Greek, it's a double negative. And then the nipso also is the aorist, first aorist subjunctive of nipto, to wash, in that case, the present of echo. All right, any other questions or comments on that? Verse 8. That's not Ruth. Take number 9, please.
John 13:9. Lege auto simon petros. Kurien. Me tus podos mu mono. Ala kai tas heras kai ten kephalein.
Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but the hands and the head.
All right, and can be used as my, understood as the literal. All right, all right, I guess that, no, not too many verbs in that one, I guess it's nothing, no verbs, not at all, unusual. The tense is clear. You have no part with me, except, in other words, I wash the nipto in you that have that sponge bath. And a symbol is that we must keep short accounts with the Lord for forgiveness of our sins, and we must walk with Him moment by moment. And we need to be clean on a moment by moment basis, and not just the once for all when we're saved, but confession of pure life. No part with me, and no fellowship, as we were saying. All right, number 10, is it, Bill?
John 13:10. Lege auto Jesus ha lelumenos u chrean heche e tus podos nipsasai al esti kataros holos kai humes katarore este.
Is that it?
Al uhi pante.
Yeah, that's it.
Jesus said to him, the one, what is the
luo is the word for to take a bath, to wash, in a sense of pulling.
Okay. The one?
It's a perfect passive participle, alomenos, from luo.
One.
Having been washed, having been bathed.
Having been washed.
Ukrain does not have Ukrain need. Does not have any need.
Does not have need.
A in the sense of the context except.
Except.
Lipsasu. To wash again, well, in this case is partial washing.
To wash the feet.
Mm-hmm.
But kaparos.
Clean. Kaparizo to clean, cleanse.
Okay,
just add to clean.
What is clean all over or whole?
Mm-hmm. Fully clean, completely clean.
And we.
And you, the humes, is you.
Mm-hmm.
Humes would be we. Humes, you.
And you. Are. Clean?
Mm-hmm. Clean one, plural.
But. All.
Not all, yeah, all are not clean. That's been all or not for all, not all. All right, that's verse 10. Lalumenos, the routine perfect past participle of luo. Nipsasai, aorist, the middle of nipto. Est in present of ami, est present of ami. Any other questions further on 10? So not all clean. Judas, of course, wasn't clean, was it?
Why is there
an
I at
the oop? Oh, he. All right, that's one of the negative particles we have there in Greek. And it's, as I recall, uhi is a stronger one than u or me. I'm just trying to see where a particle would be. It would be, where the particle is. Maybe we should look in the index. The particle, say the particle.
Mm-hmm.
239. Alright. Alright, that's good. So we look under May in alphabetical listing, see. Or I guess we'll look under ooh. I guess that's what we should look under. Negative particles is what? Oh, that's paragraph. Oh, that must be paragraph. Yeah, okay. Yeah, 2 3. Oh, yeah, there we are. There's U and May and Ume. Now, Uhi was given to us, I think, at one time under Davis. And they explained what it was, but I don't know what this.
But here at the bottom of 254.
Has
it in parentheses.
Yeah, Uruhi.
It says when
Uruhi
is using question.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say why the different
spelling. Right. Summary negation, U. Now you see, U, well, you know that, but it's for a rough reason. Uhi, I believe, is the, did it say in this the strongest negative? Did it say in the.
Here it says adverb, but I don't understand that either.
Well, no, it would be an adverb, you know. That is one of the adverbs, I believe.
But it has brackets around it.
Oh, he has brackets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does have brackets.
What does that
mean? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's not used as such or used. I don't know if those brackets are adverbs.
Here under ooh, it says, ooh, he adverb not when followed by Allah, nay, not so by no means. Like that.
That's good.
Uki.
Followed by Allah. But, nay, not so by Allah. Huh? Okay.
Followed by, I mean, preceded by Allah here.
Yeah. Also negative interrogation. Yeah, I think that's probably.
By no means all of you are
coming. Yeah, I think so. By no means. It's funny they don't have this Uki listed here more specifically.
Yeah,
specifically in Dana and Maddie. But if I can find it, no, it's not on the Greek index in either. It seemed like under Davis now we had the Uki was the stronger type thing, but no, it's used with Allah, that's all right. Allah Uki, Allah, but not all. They give a strong adversative reaction, I guess. Any other questions or comments on that? And not all things do to certain of those things. All right, next verse, please.
John 13:11. Ede gar tonta de donta auton. Diatuto eten uhi pontes kataroi este. John.
All right. This is verse 12?
No,
11. Oh, all right. Oh, I got the wrong catharoi.
He had known one giving him over. Because of this, he said, not all are clean ones.
Mm-hmm. You see, here's no Allah there, is it?
Yeah.
So,
the eye is there for some reason.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
That's because it's picking it up from where he said it.
Yes, I think you're just quoting it. Mm-hmm. All right, that's 11. 8a is what, Ruth?
That's perfect, isn't it?
Well, that would be too perfect, because you got the argument on 8a, avoida, but that's pretty close to paradidanta.
That's the present
point. Present part of the right of paradidami, paradidanta, the one he knew, the one who was betraying him, was about to betray him. Right,
Nancy? Would that mean he's doing it now?
Yes, he knew the one who was, I think, probably about to, because I think the imminent future is present. Actually, he was the one who was betraying, who is betraying him.
Well, he had already had it cast into his heart down here.
Yes, that's right. And therefore, he is betraying him right there on the spot. That's right. Even though the money and the actual act had not taken place, the betrayal of the heart was right then being generated. Any other questions on that?
Well, would that prove that what's in the heart is what counts in your actions?
Yes, it might very well tend to prove that, Ruth. He was already betraying him as present tense of entity. You have a heart betrayal before you have an external action betrayal, don't you? Always the thought and the heart attitude always precedes the action. You never do something, we say we acted thoughtlessly. Well, we may have acted thoughtlessly, but not too often heartlessly. The heart is there, or the will must be entered into somewhere. I realize sometimes in our anger we say things and do things that there's not much thought in it. Just as we
But said, out of the heart of man proceed all
those terrible things. That's right. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks too. That's right. Mark 7, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, murder, fornication, and all such things. They defile that. That's right. Or any other comments on that one? All right, if not, let's go to the next one, please.
13:12. Hote un ellipse tus podos auton, kai elabe ta hematia. Autu ana person talen eben autois genospites ti pepoica humin
shan. Right.
Therefore, when he washed their feet and was taking his garment. Something again.
He took the elabe would be heirs. He took his garments.
Okay.
And the person having laid them down again. Or I guess the person to fall again. I suppose.
Something
crying again? I guess, yeah, having fallen out of reclining again. That's right. Yeah. Having lain down again. That's the lain for the.
Is that for himself or?
I think so. Yeah, I think he. In other words, we would say he sat down again, but they reclined, so he reclined again. I press the pressure to fall, and once again, having laying down.
Well, you can hardly say sitting when you see them when
they
fix
it. That's right.
Lying on their elbow.
That's right. I don't know where they ate. That must have been difficult ordeal. They have good muscles.
Okay. They said to them, know what
it's the question. Do you know
what that's the perfect example?
Yeah, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's happened. Duplication. Well,
I have done
mm-hmm.
to you
or for you, right? Do you know? Enepsen is heiress of Mipto, Elaben heiress of also Lombano. Anepsen, or of course this is not, it's Anepeson, it's the heiress participle, second heiress participle there of Anapipto, to fall again. Pipto is to fall, and Ana is once again. Dinoskete, present of Dinosko, the Poeka, perfect of Poeo, as we said. Alright, the Kappa gives it all away, and also the double duplication there. Poeo, Pep. Any other comments, questions on this one? The 12? That's not Ruth, it's 13.
No, 13. Hime, Forete, me, Hodidaskolos, Kai Hakurios. Kai kalos legate, emigar, John.
You are calling me the teacher and the Lord, and you are speaking well, or saying well, for I am.
Mm-hmm. But again, too many, that's 11 of it, or 13, yeah, phoneta is what we're...
Present.
Phoneto, mm-hmm, and legate. Present also, legate. Alright, and notice he did not disdain the title of Kurios, did he? He's Lord. Now, I think that has both the deity implied and the master and Lord over them as their leader, I suppose, in the human realm, but certainly the deity is implied right here. He was deity, Kurios, right? It's interesting. A human being would not likely say that if he were just a humble human being. But he's not just a human being, he's God as well as man. He's perfect God, perfect man. So he told them, I think this is one of the, now here he is performing a humble service, yet if we would have a person who's a normal human being saying this, we'd say, well, he's pretty puffed up. He's saying, I'm your master, I'm your Lord, see? And your teacher. But that was a fact, see? He was speaking the truth. And as deity and as God the Son, this is not a boast. He's not boasting, or he's not trying to crack the whip, and he's just stating a fact. But to us, if someone would say, by the way, you know, I'm your master, I'm your Lord, if I've done this, who's your master? You know, that would be saying, well, who does he think he is? Unless it were really true. Now, if he were your general of the army, and you're a private, or if I, your general, have done this, this is the type of thing. But he did not disdain to be called Kurios, Lord. Caesar wanted that title. And the Christians wouldn't give it to them, and they were burned alive, sawn asunder, crucified, burned alive, thrown to the lion. But he is the Kurios, the Lord. All right, any other comments on that one, or questions? All right, next one is the bill.
13:14. Eun ego, enepsa himon tus podos, ha Kurios, kai ha didaskalos, kai humes, ha felete, alelon, niptein,
alright.
Therefore, if I wash your feet, the Lord and the teacher, and ye
therefore you ought a fellow to be obligated to ought, we would say, you ought to, you are obligated to, you should, to niptain to spadas alelo,
to wash the feet of others?
Mm-hmm, to wash one another's feet. All right, that was 14. And if that, First there is mitto of phalete, present of phalo, nitain, present of mitto, to wash. All right, and they see here in the first part of the verse 13, you call me phonetesme, didaskalos and hokodios, you call me. So he didn't deny these either. And then if I, the Lord and the teacher, there he says, he's both. I don't know if they call him that, but he agreed that that was a proper title, was a proper title. Any other comments on this?
Sometimes in the King James Version, other version, they'll capitalize Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And is it ever capitalized in the Greek? Curious, like Lord, or
not in that same sense.
Lord, you know, sometimes it's all the letters.
Oh, you like the King James, yes. Well, that's to indicate Jehovah or Adonai or Yahweh or whatever you want to say, that particular form, versus some other form like Adonai or, let's see, what other form, Elyon, you see, or something else. I forget what the other one would be for Lord. It was the initial L capitalized, the other lowercase. But all caps is always in the Old Testament. Jehovah or Yahweh, or what, you know.
Is that supported in the text? I mean, that the Greek or Hebrew is always capitalized too?
Oh, no. That's just an English way of showing that that's the Hebrew word that is used. That's the point.
Okay.
I'm not sure Adonai, you see, there's a Hebrew word Adonai, and that word means Lord. And that's capital L, small o, R, D. And whenever the ineffable tetragrammaton, which is not to be spoken, a four-letter word for God, Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey, YHWH. You know, that doesn't have any point. Whenever those four letters occur, which, you know, modernists call it Yahweh, others call it Jehovah, you see. Well, the pointings in the Hebrew for Adonai are put in whenever that occurs. And although the written, which they call the kathiv, which in Hebrew means to write, the written word is those four letters. The kore, which means to speak, or the read, the things they read when they read that part, is Adonai. They read Adonai because they don't want to use the Lord's name in vain, and they don't want to say that particular name, so they don't use it. They never talk it. It's so holy, they just don't even speak it. They put Adonai. So when you see those four letters written in Hebrew, the pointing is for Adonai, and so Jehovah, you know, is what you could read it as, but Adonai, because Adonai, so Adon is the word for Lord in that. So they pronounce it like Adonai, and they read it Adonai, but it really is the four letters that they don't pronounce. That's why they, but the English style, that's all that is. But there's no capitalization in Hebrew or capitalization in Greek as such, unless the editor capitalizes it, which he can. Now he capitalizes proper names like Simon Petros, you know, some of the others.
There's no way in the world to distinguish from the Greek, from the word Lord, whether they're talking about
the human Lord,
the divine
Lord. That's right. There's no real way to do that because both the meanings are there. See? Mm-hmm. And in the original
theology, then how he would.
That's right. How he would go ahead, but the meaning of Lord, Kurios, you know, as divine sovereign and master of things, is very well established. See? And of course, with other things, the miracles and so on, you see that Lord means it.
The way about the word Messiah, I mean, there was no
human. No, not a sense. Although Messiah in the Hebrew there means to anoint, and kings were anointed, and priests were anointed, and prophets were anointed. All three were anointed. So, in a sense, they were anointed ones. They were messiahs, but the Messiah, the one who is the Messiah of God.
We know that when the Messiah comes,
that's right.
Talking about one
specific one that was predicted in the Old Testament, and that certainly is the deity.
Seen him,
here I
am.
That's
and
right.
That would be a confession of deity.
That's right. I would think so because that's the one that God sent, and he is a specially divine prophet that the Lord has sent to us. Kurios, let me just see here. Lord, master, and owner, possessor, potentate, sovereign, you see. Power, deity, as the Lord Jehovah in many places, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's deity, you see. So it's just a question of context. And of course, the sovereign and the master of the believers is something easier said than done. You know, just he becomes our Lord upon salvation by faith, but how much he really lords it over us, and we let him lord it over us, as it were, is a matter of Christian growth, isn't it? Would that we would let him be our Lord in a practical way immediately upon salvation. I think really that's one of the pitfalls I find in Dale Fagenfeld's theology. He believes that you immediately upon salvation cannot be saved unless you make Jesus Christ your Lord in experience, not just in relationship that is really there in position, but in practice. And I think that is a very deadly error theologically. Dr. Schaefer, in his 8-volume of theology, mentions in volume 3, I believe it is, salvation. That's all on soteriology, the terms of salvation. And he says it's not believe and take Jesus as Lord. It's not believe and be baptized. It's not believe and repent. It's not believe in this and believe in some other thing. Where he has about 4 or 5 different things in addition that people try to add. He's very, very strict on this as a theologian, because in John alone there are over 150 usages of the word faith or believe or some synonym of that without anything else attached. You see, and so if salvation could be on any other basis except by simple faith alone, you see, without any other thing, then John would be all wrong, you see, theologically. So what Dale Fagenfeld has done in this, if Jesus Christ is not your absolute master and Lord, you're not saved, he's going to get Christians saved all over again many, many times. That's why Dan has been saved again, I'm sure. Now, I've just begun to cogitate on this thing. I think this is the essence of it. That's why he got preachers over there at Third Baptist Church saying again, John Murdoch, 8 or 9 years ago, whatever it was when he was in Hackensack, just saying. And that's why 30 of our best, quote unquote, from best homes, young people in Baptist High School and in the church were saved at one time. And see, now, not that some of them may be, that's why one of our deacons was saved, you know, we're here saved for years, but not that there aren't some phonies and some Judases that think they're saved, but I'm saying, I think a lot of them are not saved because he asks, well, are you satisfied with your prayer life, for example? Well, who's satisfied with prayer life? If you lie, you're going to hell. See, if you steal, you're going to hell. Because your works aren't up to your standards of what the practice. You see, and therefore, that you get these kids all worried about, well, are they really saved? Oh, I better get saved. See, well, you can have the same thing next year and ask them the same thing. You probably still feel unsaved. I have to get saved all over again. See? In fact, one time he said right then publicly on Wednesday or Sunday night, Dale Fagenfeld said, now one man came to me and said he thought he was saved that one night, but he'd already come before the microphone to give a testimony. He said, I don't want him to come. It would confuse the people to have him come back again now and say, now he's really saved because he'd been up testifying after. And he said it would confuse people, so you ought to go home and make sure, were you just saved or were you saved before? So even he got caught up with his own error and then slapped him in the face. Because that's what you have. You have a confusion. See? Do you understand what I mean by Jesus as Lord? That's. But I agree that he becomes our Lord conditionally. That's science beginning as you grow. But always, he doesn't necessarily always become complete in all the full sense the master of our souls and our whole life. We've got to grow into that. See? Yeah. You think of little children, they don't understand all these details. Now, true, Paul was a full-grown man. What will I have to do, Lord? And certainly that may have been, in his case, immediate. It was, because he went and did exactly what the Lord wanted to do.
He was asleep on the cross, couldn't do anything.
No, that's right.
He
called him Lord, but I mean, he had no time to really go into a great big action. That was all he could do, was to die and to acknowledge that he was a Savior. So anyway.
Is it the singing group or this?
It's the singing group, yes, in the whole ministry. The Life Action Ministry is called. Right. They got the singing group and they got the America, You're Too Young to Die, which is Bethel Baptist. By the way, he's going to talk to, he told last night, he's talking to the pastor today. He talked to another pastor at Stone King. He mentioned that publicly. He didn't name him, but he said the pastor over Bethel to see what that may have for future. So, the revival's on. And he also, last night, talked about those who were critical of his ministry, and they were of the devil. So it's interesting. And those that thought he was a charismatic, tonight he's telling them what he believes about the Holy Spirit. Because people are gossiping, you know, around, and they haven't told him about it, but they're telling him, thinking he's a charismatic. I guess because he teaches them to raise their hands like the charismatics, and to clap their hands like the charismatics, and so on. But anyway, it's interesting. I tried to find out if I could get a tape of tonight. I knew he had requests, and the man at the tape room said, well, no, he's put a kibosh on that. He didn't use that word, but that's what the fact is. You can't buy tapes from us anymore. He says that at the end, you will have them in the church library. If you want to listen to them, you can get them off the church library. But you can't buy them and get them yourself. So that's the difference. Well, he doesn't want people knowing what he's saying. Yeah. It's too wide circulation of his views. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thought, I'm going to get that one of the Holy Spirit. But you wait and see. It may not even be in there anyhow. It may not. I mean, when he's finally done with the meetings, he may then say, well, I've decided better than put it in your library. I mean, how do you know? See, Bill Gossett doesn't want you to tape him either. Because if you tape anything, then you get, a fellow has to stand up for his words. And the whole world will be able to see what he told these people to do and how he phrases things. Always praying to the Holy Spirit. He prays, last night he prayed twice. Yeah, oh Holy Spirit, oh Holy Ghost, which is absolutely theological heresy. And this is maybe nitpicking at all, but you see the whole tenor of so many things are strange. All that on the Lordship, on Kurios. Jesus is Lord. All right, any other comments on that?
You don't think that this establishes a sacrament here?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I don't, although the Grace Brethren do, and they hold that it is. You ought to wash one another's feet. I believe it's an example. You should humble yourselves. You should serve one another in that sense. And I think that's the whole story, because the import is there. The Baptists have always used three things for determining an ordinance, and that is that it's taught by the Lord and practiced by the apostles and repeated in the epistles. Those are the three criteria. It was taught by the Lord. He did it. And it was practiced by the apostles, at least here. I mean, I don't know whether it can be in Scripture practiced by the apostles. They may have done it here because maybe they did it at that time, but it's not repeated in the epistles.
Did the early church call
this good? I don't know about that, Ruth. It's entirely possible that in church history they may have. I don't really know that. I have not made a real study of that.
Oh, yeah,
yes, I guess that's right. He does wash feet, doesn't he?
I have a question in that right now, and I can't recall.
A foot washing?
In history.
Baptist history, yeah.
And we're called the Separatist groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember any of them so far that we've looked at.
Yeah.
That mentioned that.
You see, baptism and the Lord's Supper, urged by the Lord and practiced by the apostles in the book of Acts, you see, and then in the epistles as well. In the book of Acts is where the apostles are practicing. Now, foot washing, I don't know whether it's even practiced by the apostles. I really, unless you'd say this was where it's practiced, assuming that after he washed their feet, they did it.
It doesn't say it did.
So, whether it's even practiced by the apostles. Now, that may be a cop out. Some non Baptists may say these three criteria, because it just so happens that would rule out foot washing. But it sounds pretty good to me, because of course the New Testament epistles are the doctrine for us to practice today. So, but this is why they do it, is because the, and of course,
you ought to.
Yes, you ought to wash one another's feet.
You think that's a symbolic
statement? I think it's a symbolic statement. I think it's a symbolic statement by your Lord, that you know, wash one another's feet.
Almost in verse 16, it seems like the principle is that the servant is not greater than his Lord. You know.
That's right.
Seems to be the principle that is elaborating on this
yes.
context.
I would not hold too harshly against those who practice the ordinance, you know, in a sense, although I don't feel that it's necessarily an ordinance, because it isn't repeated in the New Testament epistles, nor is it practiced really in the apostles. They continued in fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer,
mm-hmm.
but not in foot washing. And then repent and be baptized, every one of you, and he shall be, you know, and he believed and was baptized, and they broke bread, you know, but not foot washing. It just isn't there, see. So I think there are lots of things that he wanted them to do, and he, by his life, he, you could say, well, let's copy him when he did this and this.
They may assume that this happened or that happened. You see, should we do it today? That's the question. And just like teaching of the raising of the hands to praise the Lord, is that for us today? Is we supposed to do that? Now the Jews, many times they raise their hands, they praise the Lord. See, and this was the teaching that Del Bezenbel was mentioning last Friday, just before he had everybody, you know, who wanted to. His sidekick, his young boy Steve, that's with him, is younger than he. He's young himself. If we can call Bill 35 young, you know, compared to the elders in your presence. He said, if you want to feel the Holy Spirit is leading you, you can raise your hands, you can say amen, hallelujah, you know, and clap during the singing, which they had all kinds of clapping. They really had a shindig, really a hoedown. I understand, I was not there, but from one of the deacons I talked to, was there. So, but I'm saying, just because it was practiced in the Old Testament, you see, which is about, it isn't any sign that it must be continued today, and that even raising holy hands, you know, like in 1 Timothy 2:8, that different context means a little differently. But furthermore, if we want to divorce ourselves from the practices of the charismatic movement, see, in the Pentecostals, that's one way. We don't have to be like them in many ways.
It's a questionable thing almost.
Yes, like. That's right. And then you see we get involved, and what's next thing is tongue. We want to be distinct, see, and separate. It just as they've taken the other, well, the question is if they've taken it, I mean, we can't take it. But in the New Testament, it isn't necessarily a thing at all, see. A lot of things. David danced before the Lord, and so the charismatics danced too. They danced in the Spirit, see? They danced all over the platform. In fact, this speaker of the young people one time said, you think we're fanatical with the clapping of the hands and raising our hands over there. Some of you people last night, meaning Friday night, he said that on Sunday evening when he preached. He said, boy, what if I'd get up and start dancing around in the Spirit? See, this is charismatic. They dance all over the place in the Spirit. They call it dancing in the Spirit. They just dance all over the field in this 50,000 strong. Can you imagine that? In Kansas City, Vaughn and I were there and observed as reporters. But
I wonder if he's a dispensationalist.
I don't know. He claims he's not charismatic, and he denies it. And I told the pastor about it when I got this hands up there. I told the pastor, that is charismatic. That is a terrible thing. I told him furthermore that one of the ladies who's a proctor over at Baptist High, even Sunday night, sat right in front of us. Once she's in front of us during the singing, sometimes she had her hand up, just like the old Pentecost. Now, where this is going to lead to, and how many people in our, whether to take over the whole church, who knows? But it's a sad thing that this was permitted to come in here, see? I know I'll be looked askance if I say some things and write some things, and of course I'll be called to the devil, which he called me last night. I mean, not personally, but I mean, that was. Of course, I think the pastor just mentioned about the charismatics, because he talked to me and went up and talked to him, and I think he probably said, he's right back there. See, who knows? So, in fact, this other man, Randy, was supposed to preach, and Del Fazenfeld said, well, he was going to preach, but he felt led not to, so I'm going to take over. Then he talked all about the devil and all he does. You know. Bad report and how you criticize it. The whole thing there, 8 or 9 points on what the devil does in Christian. So anyhow, and also he said, if you don't agree with me and so on, you're going to have a terrible calamity. You could die, see, if you don't go along with this revival. You're resisting, see. This was another time he mentioned that. I mean, how was he to say all these terrible threats on people? I didn't understand.
Along the same line about him saying that salvation, lordship, sort of closely, how do you feel about one that gets saved and then on his own volition, will not get baptized.
Okay. I think that's disobedience.
Okay, so far as a practical thing, like with a church follow-up program, on someone to get saved in your church, and you're going out there following up with him, discipling him, and that person will not be baptized for whatever reason, and it's no legitimate excuse. Do you think it's wise to go on and continue the follow-up program, bypassing, say, the first step in baptism, first step obedience, and then going on to other things as tithing and service in the church and other areas that, as a new Christian, he needs to be taught? Or I've heard some say, well, if he won't get baptized, then why, if he's disobedient there, why waste time or why go on in other areas
if he's going to do what he wants to do, go on and spend that time, you know, more wisely with someone else.
Others. Yeah. Well, I think, Bill, that you don't want to give up on him necessarily, because he should be taught that his life and his whole spirit and soul should be given over to the Lord 100%. Let the Holy Spirit use him. His body is not his own. He's bought with a price. He's to glorify God and his body and his spirit, which are God. In other words, there are deeper teachings that maybe then eventually he'd catch fire on the obedience. Because obedience is a matter of the heart, isn't it? If he's not obedient there, it's a heart problem, something deep down. So if you go work around it the other way and say, well, now what should our attitude be toward the Word of God? See, that's his real problem. Should we say, I serve to the Lord when he tells us to do something in the world? Well, see, yes, we should. And then you see, well, he says this. Oh, see, then I've got to do it. See, you got to realize that. So that's...
Well, I didn't mean, you know, completely give up on him, but rather than spend a lot of time...
Well, I think that he should be, you know, taught to if he comes to the church and continues to, under the Word of God and the sign of the ministry after so long, you know, if he resists the baptism, being baptized, that certainly was taught by the Lord and practiced by the apostles and taught in the epistles, wasn't it? There's no question on that. It's church ordinance, all three of those.
Okay. Based on that disobedience, okay, that person...
He couldn't be a church member, you see, according to Baptist church regular
calling. Okay, now, being he's disobedient to the Lord, does that, in a sense, break fellowship with God? Like in Isaiah where it says, your sins have separated and I will not hear you?
Well, I don't know whether it would be that far, but that would be disobedience. He told us to be baptized and so on.
Does that actually break like prayer fellowship with God? And
well, if he knows the truth and then willfully disobeys it, I think he's in real serious trouble. Yeah. Some of them don't know the truth. Some of them don't know the truth. You see, some people. But when you confront them with it, see, I mean, normal people, a lot of people don't even believe in baptism. Yeah. And some of them get sprinkles. Well, does that make them out of fellowship when they believe in sprinkling? Well, if they're not convinced that it's immersion believers, then it doesn't really bother them that much. I don't know. If they put it on the real subject of disobedience, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams, 1 Samuel chapter 15. That's very, very important. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You see, now God puts a very heavy premium on obedience. If he knows what he's doing, then does something else. That may be serious. But if he's just like a days ago and like most people are, they just go right along and so on. I don't know that it would necessarily break fellowship, but certainly it might.
No, I wouldn't encourage it.
No, I wouldn't encourage it at all.
I mean, wouldn't encourage that. Okay.
All right, let's see. That was on Kurios, was it? All right, 14, was it? Let's see who is the next of us.
If we're on 15, it's Ruth.
Is you, Ruth?
John 13:15. Hypotegma gar edoka himi. Hena kathos ego epoisa humi. Kai humis poete. John.
Okay.
For I gave you an example that just as I have done to you. Was that yours, Bill?
No.
Okay. Ye also should do.
Let's see, this is 15, is it?
Yes. You also should do, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's okay. So I gave you an example.
Is that Aorist Edoka, or is that...
Yes. Let's see, Edoka 15. That's 15, isn't it? That's the Aorist, yes. Did of me. And Epoiesa is Aorist, well, Epoieta, present. Giving you an example, he was that we should follow his steps. Remember, follow his steps in First Peter. A lot of things are example and so on and so forth. We should do as he did. He fed the 5,000. We can't follow him there, can we? He healed the blind. We can't follow him there. In other words, certain things we cannot follow. This example, as I say, I would not hold too much in error. I was preaching in a church, one of the Bible Brethren churches, not too long ago, a small church. The pastor used to be Grace Brethren, then they got so much compromise in that he was a separatist. And he just didn't want it, so he has his own. But they washed feet there in that church I preached at. Nice fellow, godly man, loves the Lord, and really walks. My wife wrote a whole column on that man that prayed. I don't know whether you remember that, Ruth, or not. There's a man that prayed, and he's a friend of He's the son of one of my former teachers, fellow teachers at Cedar Grove Baptist College, Professor John Reno. This is John Paul Reno, his son. Very fine, godly man. So, you know, they're good people that wash feet. It wouldn't kill us. The women have one side, the men have the other side. See, they don't wash, mix the washing.
They don't
just
have the experience of those people's feet really being dirty and cleansing them as the Lord did.
That's right, see. That's exactly right.
So
it's not the same because it is a little bit humble. Yeah, that's right. They don't really have the dirty feet today. I mean, some do, I suppose, but I mean, not in the same sense.
Because if you knew you were going to have a foot washing at church, you'd sure want it.
You'd sure want it. That's right. That's exactly right. But you can imagine, my wife asked a whole lot of questions of that pastor on that foot washing. The details, and I don't remember all of this. She probably remembers every detail he told her. But what did the women wear? Did they wear the pantyhose? Or, you know, what I mean, what, it's a difficult situation. And there's changing rooms, and there were changing rooms. See, she got into great detail. See, as a woman, I mean, that's, and do you have men and women washing each other's feet? And, well, yeah, that'd be a little bit strange. And so he told all the details. See. So it's an act of worship they have, and it's maybe it's all right. But all right, let's see. A lot of people used to go to Bethel, went over to the Grace Brethren. You know, they washed feet. I couldn't figure out. And try an immersion also forward. Three times forward is where they baptize. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, rather than back. You see it, how they can do that. But how Baptists can go over and absorb that without any, if they're really Baptist, I guess they really weren't, you know, that persuasion. But a lot of them went over. Okay, let's see, that was 15, was it? All right, Bill?
13:16. Amen, amen, lego humin. Ukesti doulos mezon tu kuriu autu. Ude apostolos mezon tu pimpsontos auton. John?
All right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Now this could be human, couldn't it? Kurios, human Lord, Master, a servant. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, because this,
it's just an example, see, but of course.
Well, I think the other example we looked at was capitalized.
Oh, in your Greek text?
Maybe it wasn't.
I mean, I think
it's
they're
not
all
here. It's not here, but I thought the other one we looked at was capitalized.
Well, I thought verse 13 is just a small K. Yeah, a small
okay,
capital,
okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, this could be both Master and Lord. It could be deity or just in the human realm, but either way, go ahead.
Okay. The apostle greater than his servant.
No, Pemsantos, the one having sent him.
The one having sent him.
Pemsantos, first there is participle of Pempo. All right, Ruth, go ahead.
Apostolos mezon tu pimpsantos auton.
All right, Ruth.
John 13:17. E tauta oidate makarioi este ean poete auta.
All right.
If ye know these things, blessed ones are.
Mm-hmm. Blessed or happy. Mm-hmm.
If ye should do them, these things.
All right, do them, these things understood. Okay, that's good.
Well, that's blessed as in blessed all
of. Yes, that's true. I'm blessed and then sometimes happy also. The Old Testament blessed as happy, and I think makarioi also can be blessed or happy also. Not really positive on that. God's blessed man. I think there's a happiness either in the Hebrew or the Greek or both. I'm confused at this point. But all right. Any other comments, questions on that one? All right, Bill, take the next one, please.
John 13:18. U peri panton himon lego ego oida hus ex alexame. Al hina egrafe plerothe ha trogon metemu ton arton eteren et eme ten pternan autu.
Is that it? Yeah, Makarios, Ruth, happy or blessed. Yeah, happy or blessed. Okay. right ahead.
Makarezzo
is to pronounce happy or felicitude, see, like that. So then the other ones. So that's happy or blessed either one. Yes.
Up in verse 9, I was talking about that. There's a capital Kappa.
Oh, yes, because it's direct address, beginning of the quotation, see.
Oh, okay.
It's direct address, that's why. And it's in the vocative, see, that's why.
Okay.
Right? As Peter says, quote, Lord. See?
Oh, I see.
You watch me? All right, go right ahead, Bill.
Okay, 18. I say not concerning all of you.
Whom I chose.
Okay. I know
I know whom I have chosen, who I chose.
But in order that the scripture might
be fulfilled,
be fulfilled.
This is the aorist passive subjunctive. Plerao.
Okay.
And exelexamen is the first aorist middle of eklego.
Okay, the one having something. What is that?
Who's eating.
Eating. One having eaten with me. Had eaten the bread with me. What's it?
Epiro. To lift up.
Okay.
Lifted up.
Lifted up.
Or has lifted up either one.
The
heel.
His heel.
Epeme, against me.
Okay.
Against me, all right. And exelexamen, therefore, is the aorist middle, whom I have chosen for myself, for my own purposes, you see. Chosen for myself and by myself. And pleirothe, aorist passive subjunctive pleirao. Trogon, present participle of trogo. Eperen, aorist of epiro. Has lifted up or lifted up. All right, any other comments on that? Ruth?
John 13:19. Aparti lego humin pro tu genestai. Hina hotan genetai. Pisteosete hoti ego e mi.
All right.
Is that from now? Aparti?
Mm-hmm.
From now on?
Yeah, from now on, huh?
I'm saying to you before it comes to be, is that what that phrase is? It should
happen. Before it happens, before it comes to pass, before it happens.
In order that when it should be, he should believe that I am I.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that's an infinitive, isn't it?
That I am, yes, in that sense.
I am genetai.
Geneta, you mean? Or?
Both of them.
Oh, Ganesha, yes. Uh-huh.
Both,
that is right. From now on, I am speaking to you before to happen, see? And after pra, you have the infinitive, see? Before to be come to pass. And whenever it might come to pass, see, this is geneta, it would not be infinitive, that would be third person singular. See, it might, yeah.
Before it becomes.
Right. Ganesha, that would be your second aorist middle infinitive, gene, mind, pistosa. Genetai is second aorist subjunctive of genomai, third singular. Pisteoite, present active subjunctive, pisteo. All right, any other questions on that one there? Then? All right, Bill?
John 13:20. Amen, amen, lego humin, ha lambanon, ean tina pempso, eme lambane, hade eme lambanon, lambane ton.
All right.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the one receiving
antennas, whomsoever,
whoever.
I said.
I said.
Mm-hmm.
He receives me.
Mm-hmm.
But the one having received me he receives the one who
has
sent.
Receiving me, rather, receives, is still present, participle. Okay. Receives the one
having sent me.
Okay. Very good. On verse 20, lambano, present active participle of lambano, pempo is the future, pempso, future of pempo. Do we have that pempso? Let's see. Is pempso there? Yes, pempso. Lambane, present of lambano, pempsanta, first aorist participle of pempo. All right, Ruth, 21, please.
John 13:21. Tata epol haesus etarache to pneumati. Kai hematurise kai epen. Amen, amen, lego humin. Hoti heis ex humon paradose me.
All right.
Having said these things, Jesus was troubled in the spirit, and he witnessed and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me.
All right. Epon erist of participle of lego, etarche. Aorist passive of talasso, he was troubled, and marturisen, aorist of martureo, paradose, future of paradidomi. All right, any other question on that? Bill, 22, please.
John 13:22. Epiton un eis allelus hoi mathetai, aporumenoi peri tenos lege, John.
All right.
Then the disciples were seeing,
or were looking,
to others, or
one to another. See, upon each one another.
Okay, one to another.
Alleluia, is it? Let's see, where is it? 25?
22.
22, all right. Look to each other. See, look one upon another. Look at each other.
One another. What
is that? Up. Poreo, my God, denying or wondering, poreo and apareo, without a way. See, poreo is a way. So, puzzling, see, actually,
okay.
Concerning, or about.
Concerning those he says?
About the thing he said, see, okay. About what he said, see, okay. Tenos, of what he said, you see.
Okay.
Is that the end of that verse?
Yes.
Okay. Look at one another, doubting, see, puzzling, he said, doubting, aporo, not having a way. 21, was it? 22.
Yes.
Eblepon, imperfect, you see, eblepo. They were looking around. Aporeo, paroumenoi, present middle participle of aporeo. Doubting for themselves and in themselves and by themselves. All right, Ruth, 23, please.
13:23. Ein de anakimenos, heis ton matheton autu, ento corpo to Yesu, hon egapa ho Yesus, John.
All right.
But one of his disciples was reclining in the bosom of Jesus, whom Jesus loved.
All right. Whom Jesus loved. 23. Anakemenos, present middle participle of anakemai, egapa, imperfect of agapao. And Jesus was loving, right. Mm-hmm. All right, any other question on that? Bill, take 24, please.
13:24. Neue un tuto Simon Petros pithestai tis an eie peri hu lege, John.
Then Simon Peter, what's that?
Neue, made a sign.
Made a
The president of Nevo made a sign or a motion.
Made a sign to him or something?
Yes, to this one that just we're talking about. To the one that Jesus loved. In other words, to John, probably. Mm-hmm. This is the one that Jesus loved.
What's the puthesa?
To ask or to inquire.
Ask.
And who it should be. See, tis who on a, who it might be. See.
It might be concerning.
Puthestai.
So, yeah.
Who it might be concerning whom he is speaking to you, he's saying, of whom he says, who's talking about, see? You understand? Who it might be, concerning whom he is speaking.
Okay, I was
going to say
that is who instead of who.
Oh, yeah, who. That okay. is who, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Puthestai, I think it's from Punthanomai, and it is the aorist infinitive, a gappa, neoe, present indicative of nuo, neo, to make a sign. Any other questions or comments on that one? Ruth, take the next one, please. 26.
On 13:25.
Oh, 5, I'm sorry.
Epikason de ekenos epitos tethos tu Jesu lege auto kurie tisestin.
All right.
With that one, falling.
Having fallen, see?
Fallen,
yeah, there is. Mm-hmm.
On the breast of Jesus, saying to him, Lord, who is it?
All right, stethos. Isn't that interesting? Stethoscope. Isn't a beautiful stethos for breast? The chest there. All right, who is it? Any other questions on the epipistone? Of course, the aorist participle of epipipto. All right, Bill?
John 13:26. Apoclinitai ho Jesus, ekinos estin, ho ego bapsas to psomion epidoso, kai embapsas to psomion didosin Juda simonos Iscariote.
All right.
Jesus answered, that one is who I baptized. What's that?
Bapto, a good Baptist, having baptized.
Mm.
It's a beautiful showing of the meaning of dip, having dip. Immersed from bapto.
Yeah,
that's a
dipped.
Having dipped, huh?
Having dipped.
So me on the morsel, little piece.
The sop, shall give.
Mm-hmm, shall give, epidoso.
And having baptized. I'm trying to put that in.
That's right. Having dipped, that's right, baptized.
having dipped. What is that?
So me on
the... augment, or not augment, but...
M-O-N, N-bapto, in, to dip in, having dipped it in.
Oh, okay. See?
And the M is by the euphony and with the beta, when I get the beta.
Donking as in donuts?
Yes, donking as in donuts, that's right.
Okay.
Dipping a little morsel in.
Dipped in the morsel.
And like the Roman Catholics now do with the intinction method of communion and the Episcopalians, they dunk the wafer in the wine and put the both of them right in, get it all done at once. Don't have to come up twice. That's intinction, the intinction of it. We were almost forced to use that in the chaplaincy. I rebelled as a Baptist. I wouldn't do it, and boy, I got bad fitness report from my superior chaplain. But I didn't have to do it, as it was against my rules of the Ecclesiastical Endorsement Agency, which was the regular Baptist GRB fellowship at the time. All right, so having dipped,
gave to Simon.
Judas of Simon.
Yeah,
see?
Judas Simon.
Actually, to Judas Iscariot. Okay, there's
Simon.
Simon. Yeah, the son of Simon. Judas Iscariot in the dative. Son of Simon. The Presbyterians don't like the bapto meaning dip, and they say, "Oh, but this word for baptize is baptizo. There's a different ending. See, but bapto and baptizo. I mean, it's all big roots. You see, baptizo is just a little bit different type of thing. See." But this bapto is very clear here, and so the Baptists have very great, strong. Encouragement from the meaning of the word and the usage of it, I'm sure. That was 26? All right, apokrinitai we know is the present of apokrinomai, estin, bapso, future of bapto there, doso is future of didomi, bapsas, aorist participle of bapto, and lambane, present of lambano, didosin, present of didomi. Okay, 27, Bill. Is it Bill or Ruth?
No, it's
okay.
Colin, 13:27. Kai meta to psomion tote eiselten eisekinon ha satanas lege un auto ha Jesus ha poes poeson tachion.
And after the morsel, then Satan went into that one. Then Jesus is saying to him, that which you are doing, do quickly.
Okay. That's 20, 7, they sail thin, heirs to Beth Hakamai, Lege, president of Lego, Poyes, president of Poyo, and Poyeson, imperative heirs of Poyo. All right?
What was it Satan put in before? Was that just a thought?
He cast
something. What was it? He cast
it
into his heart.
Oh, put into his heart. Yeah, put into his heart, threw into his heart to betray him.
Just a thought.
Yeah, that's right, to betray him. In other words, he'd already made up his mind to betray him, and now, apparently, Satan entered into him. He took right over. That's right, personally. He incarnate Satan. Incarnation of Satan. Now, this is important because the thought, as we said, is the father to the action. And here he had given himself the right to have Satan possess him, and now Satan just takes over.
He's doing a precursor, a preview. First is
that's
God,
right.
And he comes in afterwards.
That's right, that's right. He gives a little bit of a shadow, then the substance. That's why it's so dangerous, I believe, for Christians to fool around with spiritism in any way, shape, or form. It's satanic to the core. And voodoo, any of this evil thing. See, that's why I think we should just stay away any of the TV films, of course, Hollywood movies, so on, but it's this terrible satanic stuff. See, the curse or all these exorcists, I mean, all that stuff. I mean, I just wouldn't turn the tube on, because that is maybe an avenue that Satan can use to be an inroad into our hearts and lives that we're going to then open up to have him possess other parts. See, this is a very serious lesson here.
I know a woman who read The Exorcist, a Christian woman, and she couldn't get it out of her mind for weeks and weeks and weeks. She just read it to see what it was, but it lingered in her mind.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. Terrible. And that's, there's so many ghastly things. And I think Satan being so loose now and so free now, so powerful, and young people and older ones as well, and the TV is just full of this stuff. I'm sure the Hollywood movies are even worse. And the kids are telling in school, did you go see this? Did you go see this? And they tell about these horrible things. They laugh about it and so on. It's hardening their minds to anything holy, anything that's fearful, anything at all. It scares the life out of some of them, but they still go and see that junk. It's almost like an attraction to just fill their minds with that terrible, poisonous stuff. I just don't have anything to do with it. I think that's one thing we ought to abstain from any of that because of this possible being influenced adversely. All right, go right ahead then. Whoever's next, is it? Bill?
John 13:28. Tuta de udes egno ton anakemenon prosti apen auto. John?
All right.
Now, no one knew.
No one of those who were lying down alongside of, I guess understood. Now those who were reclining, in other words, at the table.
Okay, near to.
Prosti, that is probably why or for what purpose.
Okay, for what purpose he talked to them or.
He said this. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Right? Yeah, he said this, understood to them, yes, right? Or why he said this, or spoke to them in this way. That was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Agnos, the second aorist of Ginosko, Anakemenon, present middle participle of Anakemai, and Apen, second aorist of Lego. And did we have Adokun? Is that in there? Edakun?
No.
That must be. Is it?
I thought
that was the next sentence. Okay. All right. Anything else for this? Any more comment on that? Ruth, take the next one, please.
13:29. Teneskar Edakun epe ta glosokamon echen ha Judas. Hati lege auto ha Jesus. Agorason hon krean echomen estein herte.
All right.
Or some were thinking, is epe because?
Mm-hmm.
Or since?
Or since, yeah, like since. Huh?
Since Judas was having the bag, that Jesus is saying to him, buy that which we are having need of for the feast.
Okay. That's 29. And Dakun is that's imperfect, right? I've dug out, right? It seemed to seem. That's right. Echen is imperfect, as you translate of echo. Agorason, aorist imperative, agorazo. Echo men, present of echo. And do, second aorist of didomi. Any other question on 29? All right, 30, Bill, please.
A, tois, prochois. Hina, ti, do. John, 13:30.
Is that 13? Oh, that was the end of that, Ruth. Go ahead and finish it up for us.
Oh. Or that they should give something to the poor.
Mm-hmm. That he should give, actually, right? He might give actually up to the poor ones. All right, Bill.
Labon un ta psomion ekenos eltheos exelthen ein de nux.
All right.
And therefore, having received.
The sop or the morsel, the little tiny piece of food, whatever it was.
Yeah. Or that, maybe the king spoke that.
Yeah, that is Judas.
Okay.
He, that one, having received the morsel.
Went out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it was night.
It was night. Lavon, aorist of Lambano, exelthen, aorist of Exerchaman, ein, imperfect of Amy. It's always night when you betray the Lord. It's darkness, isn't it? All right, Ruth, finally.
John 13:31. Hata un exelthe, lege haesus, nun, edoxaste hachios tu anthropu, kai hafeos, edoxaste en auto.
All right.
Then when he had gone out, Jesus is saying, now the Son of Man has been glorified.
Is glorified.
It's passive.
Is glorified in the sense of glorified. Is glorified would be the passive sense. He is glorified or is being glorified or was glorified. See?
Isn't it
aorist? Yes, aorist passive, right.
That's
true. But you see, we sometimes use is in the English in the sense of passive, is glorified.
It's already been done.
Yes, it's already been done. See, is in the sense of has been, see.
Right. And God is glorified in him.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's 31. And doxaste is aorist passive, and doxazo, all right. So now is the Son of Man glorified, and he's looking toward the cross, the glorification. Well, I'm sorry it's too expatiating waiting on the other man there for the curious, but it's one of those things. All right, page 220, got our data in Maniata, we'll see what the participle looks like. Just very briefly, in few languages do we have an equal in the Greek? An abundance and variety, data and Mani say, as far as this participle is concerned. Notice the origin and nature of the participle, paragraph 197, page 220. It's a verbal substantive. Remember, substantive can be either a noun or an adjective. In the case of the infinitive, that's a verbal substantive. It's a verbal noun. In the case of a participle, it's a verbal adjective. So that's basically, it has kept its inflections and its endings and its gender, a number, and case, and it can be declined just like any other adjective, the participle. So that's the origin and nature of it. We will skip the fine print there. It talks about the Sanskrit, and page 2 of our book here goes back and tells us that Sanskrit is one of the family of the Indo-European languages, and it's the oldest of the ones. And then next after that comes Greek. So you see, apparently Greek had its ancestry in the Sanskrit, and so they use that to show about the participle there. Then the participle compared with the infinitive in page 221, similarities and the differences. First of all, there are three similarities. Number one, paragraph 221, page 220 at the bottom, both are verbal substantives. Similarity two, both may be used with or without the article. Number three, both are indefinite in their bearing upon the limits of time. That is, they're infinitival, non-finite, indefinite. In other words, you don't have third-person singular, first-person endings or anything like that, indefinite in that sense. So those are three different things. And notice the differences. They're indeclinable as a noun. They had a fixed and locative dative ending, that is the infinitives, but then Yeah, they had a participle as an adjective function, and they do have declensions. You can decline them. Number two, substantive form of the infinitive has lost its significance, while the adjective form of the participle is fully recognized. Number three, the infinitive is ordinarily connected closely with the verb. The participle is connected with the subject or object, like an adjective would. And then four, the participle generally contemplates action as real, while the infinitive implies the potential. And they give a for instance in that regard. So those are the four different contrasts and differences. The fine print we won't go into in detail, bottom of 222, top of 223. Then the classification of the participle. A lot of the Greek grammarians, Hadley and Allen, Goodwin, Burton, Robertson, they've written with different classifications. He picks two, the adjectival participle and the adverbial participle. Right, first, the adjectival participle that is used as an adjective. The ascriptive use and the restrictive use, those two main uses like the adjective has. The ascriptive use ascribes some factor, quality, characteristic directly to the substantive. That can be used in the attributive position. He ascertained the time of the appearing star, Matthew 2:7. The time of the appearing star, to phenomenu, the participle there being in the genitive, and it's an attributive position because it has the article with it, you see, the time of the appearing star. And then it can be the predicative position after verb of being. I was unknown, Galatians 1:22 says, amen de agnoumenos, I was unknown. It's after the verb to be, therefore it's in the predicate position. I was and then unknown being an adjective there. And then the third use of the ascriptive can be as a substantive, either as a subject, the object, or a modifier. For instance, Acts 10:35 says, the one fearing him is acceptable to him. Ha phobumenos is just like a noun, isn't it? Just like a subject. The fearing one, the one fearing him, see, it's like a subject of the sentence, used as a substantive or a noun. So any questions further on the ascriptive use of the adjective participle? All right, the restrictive use, it's made to denote an affirmation that distinguishes the noun which it qualifies as in some way specifically defined, marked out in its particular identity. And restrictive participle denotes distinctiveness. That's the main thing. For instance, John 6:50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. It's the bread, ho artos, but ek tu uranu katabainon, which comes down. See, the specific bread that comes down, restricting it, and a special distinctiveness that the ascriptive doesn't do as well on. See, this restrictive is distinct. All right, the adverbial participle, page 226. There are altogether 10 different adverbial participial senses. The first is the telic participle, the participle of purpose. Ordinarily, the future participle is used, Matthew 27:49. Let us see if Elijah comes to save him. See if Elias comes, soson auton, saving him, you see. But obviously, it's with the purpose of saving him. It's coming for to carry me home, see. Remember? Mm-hmm. Swing low, swing chariot. I've come to Alabama with my banjo on my knee, coming. My true love for to see. Huh? What? What's the name? What did she say?
I think you got two songs mixed up.
No. I'm saying in addition to that.
Oh,
My true love for to see. See, in order to see, the telic purpose, see, the purpose with the purpose of seeing. And so this, what was the first one?
Swing,
coming for to carry me home. That purpose is the telic, see, it's the purpose. But then the temporal participle. And by the way, you can translate these as purpose. Now, normally, you know, you say having been, having gone, so on. But now that we know what the full import of these participles, we can translate them as this, and we say, well, it's a participle of purpose in order to do this, see, in order to save him. The temporal participle is a question of time. To me, either when something, after something, or while something, depending on the tense, you see. When it happened, or while it happened, would be the present participle. After, would be probably the aorist or perfect participle, you see. Matthew 2:10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Now, idontes, seeing the star. When they saw the star, we would say it. When they saw the star, in the past tense, they rejoiced, because that's aorist, and therefore, idontes being the aorist participle, that's when they did this, they rejoiced. See, it's just the contemporaneous time. Then, of course, it can be before, after, depending on what the tense is of the participle and the other verbs surrounding it. then the causal participle can be the cause of something, a ground of an action of the main verb. For instance, in John 4:45, they received him because they had seen all that he did. Heorakotes, they received him having seen all that he did, is the participle there. It's a perfect participle. But it's because they saw. Therefore, it's a causal participle. See, they received him. Why? Because. And it can be translated as because. Instead of having seen, it's because they saw, because they had seen all that he did. All right, any questions on that? Then the conditional participle is a process of a conditional sentence. For instance, Acts 15:29, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye will do well. From which, diateruntes, from terao, diateraō, which keeping yourselves, that is, if you keep, that's like a conditional participle. If. It can be translated as an if. The fifth use, the concessive participle, can be translated as a though, a concession. For instance, Romans 5:10, for if, though we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. For if, ontes, being enemies, though we were enemies. See, perfectly translatable as concessive participle and still being accurate. Top of 2:28, the instrumental participle. The means, for instance, Acts 16:16, she brought much gains, again, by soothsaying, by means of soothsaying. In other words, manteomene, being a maniac, a manteus, connected with Satan, and by means of soothsaying, the instrumental participle. That's a perfectly good translation. The seventh use of the ten is the modal participle. It's the manner in which the action of the verb is accomplished. It could be used by hosts. For instance, Matthew 3:1, John the Baptist appeared preaching. He appeared keiruson, preaching in a manner. That's the manner in which he appeared. It's therefore it's the modal participle, in the sense of a participle of manner. By means of, in the manner of preaching, he appeared preaching. The eighth use is the complementary participle to complete the idea of an action expressed in the main verb. For instance, in Ephesians 1:16, I cease not giving thanks for you. I do not cease. Paomai needs a completer. I do not cease what? Eucharistone, giving thanks. So that's just a complementary addition to the verb to cease. Complementary participle is called. In the ninth one, the circumstantial participle. It may present none of the above functions, but an attendant circumstance, an additional fact or thought. That's rendered by the conjunction and, with a finite construction usually, but the English participle fails to really get the force of the Greek participle. Mark 16:20 is an example. They went forth and preached everywhere. They went forth and exelthontes. They went forth, having gone forth, and ekedoxon. Yeah, all right. So it is, they went forth and preached. Now actually, it's having gone forth, they preached, you see. But you can translate it. They went forth and preached, just like a circumstantial. That's a circumstance. They went forth, although it's they having gone forth, preached. You could say they went forth. But you can translate it just like a normal type of a finite construction. Then the tenth and final one, the participle used as the imperative. Peculiarity of the Koine Greek, like in 1 Peter 3:1, let wives be in subjection to their own husbands. And I guess who put tasamani, wives being in subjecting or subjecting themselves to their own husbands, and that can be as an imperative, just like the Matthew is an imperative. It's a participle, but it's an imperative, and this is a very good use of it. You remember people criticize the King James Version because they say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's not go, it's having gone into its participle. Well, one of the legitimate uses of the participle is imperative. Boy, excuse me. I adjusted that. Got my tape into a Mickey Mouse. Pull with numbers. So that's basically those 10 uses of the participle. Now, that is a very, it really pulls out a lot of potential now as we translate and use. Any comments or questions you have on any of these? We've rushed along a little bit. 9:03. Started about 15 minutes later, and so we're just about 15 minutes plus five, even including our little dissertation on the word kurios. All right, well, everybody please close in word of prayer as well. DJ, please close.
Father, once again, we just thank you for this time together around the word and this language. And Father, we thank you for the things that we've heard tonight and learned. And Father, most of all, that we might ensure that you're the Lord of our life every day. And that we would be continually doing that, Lord, and just humbling ourselves, conforming our lives to thy word. Pray that you be with Brother George as he's away, and he might heal his body, Lord, and take this sickness away, and just be with each of us as we go our various ways, Lord, and be with Ruth as she is learning all about the computer, Lord. Yes. Just give her understanding of it, that she might use it for thy service and with Dr. Waite. Bless Dr. Waite and his teaching, and just give him more knowledge of your word, Lord, and understanding of the language that he might be able to teach us better. And just pray you dismiss us now with your blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, keep up the good work. Well, today.